Hello, friends, and welcome to the Optimized Advisor Podcast, where we focus on optimizing the well-being and best practices of insurance and financial professionals today. On this show, our objective is to help you optimize your life, optimize your profession, and learn from other optimized advisors. I'm your host, Scott Heinola. We hope you enjoy the show. Brad Shepard, welcome to the Optimized Advisor Podcast today. Thank you for taking the time to join us. Sincerely, I appreciate it. What is this month, by the way? What is significant about this month?
Well, other than we all tend to enjoy a sometimes well-cooked turkey, November is LTC Awareness Month. And a lot of times that gets confused with Long-Term Care Insurance Awareness Month, which is a slight pet peeve of mine. It's actually more just about long-term care planning and awareness here in the month of November every year.
And so this month is all about giving thanks. We also are near our loved ones, in many cases, grandma, grandpa, those that are a little bit, you know, elderly in age, maybe not operating as fast and quick and nimble as they once were. And it's a great time that I think we are reminiscent and reflective of that. We're all human, and at some point we are going to need some assistance. So that's a lot of what we're talking about today. This is going to be what we call more of a short form version of our conversations and episodes, where you and I are going to dive into a specific opportunity that exists in the long-term care planning space, something that's been around for a number of years, but surprisingly and seemingly still unknown to the financial professional world at large. And so if you may, why don't you tee it up a little bit? Let's talk about what it is and where, why it exists, how it came to be.
Yeah. So, you know, the topic that we wanted to focus on is this little somewhat unknown incentive or opportunity for us in financial services to speak to clients and help them with non-qualified accounts. In particular, most of the time that's non-qualified annuities, where to the extent of any gain within that contract, if put into the proper type of policy, can allow for tax-free distributions when paid for long-term care expenses. And that comes in the form of a piece of legislation called the Pension Protection Act. And it's one of those, like we were talking about, it's a hidden gem in our industry that, and I do a lot of trainings across the country, whether it's in person or virtually. And most of the time when we broach this topic, and at the end, I ask simply, you know, did you hear about this before? Have you known about this before, to advisors and agents? And most of the time, the answer is no, I never knew about that before. So if you want to kind of use a line in this topic, it's tax deferred to tax free for long-term care expenses.
So the Pension Protection Act is the topic of today's discussion. It's interesting to me because you think about how many years has it been around? I think 2006.
Yeah, so it became effective. Well, it was penned in 2006, became effective January 1st of 2010.
Okay. Which is interesting because originally when it came out, you know, what does the Pension Protection Act of 2006 have to do with 2010, which is when we kind of initiated the education on this topic? At that point, it certainly drew some interest and some attention. But still, to this day, it's just this surprisingly unknown element in the annuity world or long-term care planning world that can provide significant benefit. So let's take a quick step back, because a lot of the times when we're helping our clients plan for care, the conversation does come down to helping them understand what long-term care really looks like in this country. As we know and profess, it's not a nursing home experience. Very, very few people ever end up in a nursing home. Most of the time, long-term care in this country pertains to independent living or provided care living in the comforts of your own home and or an assisted living facility. Predominantly, those are the areas of care in this country. Correct?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. Separately from that, getting everybody on the same wavelength, the client, the advisor, and education of what it actually looks like, what are my options, and without any mistake, our suggestion where the opportunity exists is you're better off leveraging your assets in some capacity. There's many terms that are used in describing these products that exist today, whether it's asset-based or hybrid or what are some of the others?
You can call it health-based insurance or linked benefit or asset-based hybrid. And many times, you know, and I'm sure you're going to have future episodes on these particular topics, but many times people commingle or they don't understand the differences even between what would be considered a combination type product with life insurance and chronic illness riders as compared to true tax qualified long-term care benefits that is added on to a life insurance policy or an annuity contract. So they all get kind of thrown into this one bucket. And that's at the advisor or agent level as well. So just imagine at the client level, how there can be some added confusion if we don't keep it as simple as possible.
And so I want to put a pin in that, the difference between a qualified long-term care plan, qualified not meaning, you know, IRA money or 401k money. That's not what we're talking about. Qualified under the guidance of the IRS for tax-free benefits to be paid for long-term care privileges, correct?
That is correct. Yeah. And there are some, you know, if you geek out for just a minute or two, there are some IRC codes that are attached to that. And, you know, some of the things that I know that you're going to dive into at a later time is, you know, the IRC code for tax qualified long-term care benefits is what's called 7702B. Whereas when you just, you know, tack on a rider, like a chronic illness rider to a life insurance policy, that IRC code is 101G. And many times they're put together in one lump of long-term care benefits, and that's just not accurate.
But to be fair, the distinguishing points are, number one, 7702B is the IRC code that distinguishes and qualifies it as true qualified long-term care insurance.
Yes.
101G. In fairness, many of them may have look, feel, assimilate very closely to the benefits of or the plans that would match up with a qualified long-term care insurance plan. But one of the drawbacks is there's no defined uniformity, correct?
That is correct. And also, even from, if you look at it from, you know, an advisor or an insurance agent's perspective, there's quite a bit less certification that has to be gone through in order to help with some of those 101G or chronic illness type riders.
It also does not definitively protect the taxation of those distributions to pay for care.
That is accurate, yes. Whereas tax qualified long-term care, the 7702B, when those payments are made out to the client, whether it be reimbursement or indemnified benefits, up to what their actual expenses are, all of those benefits become tax-free to that policy owner.
And the last point I'll make there is in any illustration I've ever seen with a 101G rider, certainly currently, they'll have big bold letters on that illustration that specifically says, this is not long-term care insurance and should not be represented as such, or in some verbiage similar to that.
So just
be aware. I think that's an important segue for us to clarify before moving forward with the specific opportunity.
Yes, sir. And you'll see that, like you said, it'll be very bold. And in particular, they have to follow those rules for many reasons. And the most important reason is to make sure that the consumer is protected as well.
Okay, so we've done our proper education. Client understands what long-term care insurance really is. Mm-hmm. I'm really, really trying to avoid the financial burden that this would impose upon my estate. My balance sheet per se, I'm also well aware of the unintended consequences of my loved ones, people I care most. So I'm just fast forwarding through conversations you and I have previously had.
Yes.
And we get to this point of, okay, I definitely want to leverage my assets for insurance. And that's why I think it's also important to, although these products have a label, they have a term, at the end of the day, these are long-term care insurance plans.
Yes.
They just so happen to be the kind that are funded, in this case, in the topic of today, specifically by a non-qualified annuity. There is many billions of dollars that exist in tax-deferred, non-qualified annuities that are earning an interest rate and not taking withdrawals or not being used for distributions. They're in many cases, set aside as that rainy day fund, that savings account with minimal or no market risk. Mm-hmm. And I'm not taking withdrawals on these funds. And so what happens there is the benefit of the tax deferral starts to build. And as an individual ages, the taxable burden becomes greater and greater. So, Brad, what can one do in this capacity? What options do they have?
Great question, Scott. Well, just imagine.
I set you up there nicely.
Yes, you did. That was the, I'm going to try to hit that ball right in the fairway. So, and you know, many times clients, when they have those types of funds set aside, right? You called it the rainy day funds. They need to be reminded that they are building those gains within the contract. And if they were to need care, right? You know, one of the main questions that we always try to help with is, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Jones, if you needed care, what asset would provide the income to pay for your care? And in many cases, in their mind, they have that rainy day fund, you know, whether it be a CD in the bank, right? Whether it be a money market or that existing non-qualified annuity, they'll say, oh yeah, that's my first line of defense. And so what they forget, though, let me give you a perfect example. You have a client that, you know, they get their statement from their annuity and, you know, maybe they funded it with $100,000 10, 15, 20 years ago. And they see the account value and it says $200,000, Scott. Well, what do you think they believe is in the annuity to pay for their care if that's what they've earmarked in their mind?
Great question. They have, I'm so glad you asked. $200,000, of course, but why not? Why would it be anything else?
And that's our opportunity, right? Is to help them and educate them that they really don't have the full $200,000 if, as we all know, with non-qualified accounts upon those distributions, that comes out LIFO, right? Last in, first out. So they don't have the entirety of that account to pay for their care.
And the gain on annuities are taxed how?
So the gain on the annuity is going to be taxed as ordinary income, and that's going to come out first out of that. So let's say in my example, the $200,000 annuity, and they have, you know, it's a perfect world, right? $100,000 of it's gain, $100,000 of it is basis. Well, what would come out first if they need $50,000 this year for care is the gain. And so they really don't have $50,000, which means they either have to erode that account more, right? Or go into a different type of an account to pay for the difference. And so, you know, the government, they provided this Pension Protection Act. And I always talk about this little story, Scott, so bear with me for 30 seconds. You know, the government, like any piece of legislation, it's all about timing and when things get, you know, approved and when the bill or the legislation becomes effective. So as we've already mentioned, this piece of legislation was penned in 2006, became effective January 1st of 2010, the Pension Protection Act. Well, it's this thick, 2,000 some pages of the PPA. We're going to use that acronym a lot now. And only a small portion of that addressed these non-qualified type of accounts. And so the government said, how can we incent people to protect themselves against, from a financial perspective, one of the biggest risks that they face personally? But even more important than that is that if you look at every single state level across our country, the number one or number two expenditure at every single state is Medicaid. So yeah. a way to then down the road help, you know, minimize the pressures on Medicaid is to incentivize people to purchase their own type of long-term care protection. So what the government said was, all right, well, And I joke when I say this, but I guess I'm somewhat serious. Hi, I'm the government. I'm here to help, right? So when they come to the table and say, I'm here to help, we want to incent you, Mr. and Mrs. Jones, to consider your own long-term care protection. They allowed for any of the gain within a non-qualified annuity. So, you know, the company that I represent, we have those non-qualified annuities that allow for, you know, you could 1035 exchange money into that. And if the client, the policy owner, ever needs to use that annuity for their care, every part of the distribution that comes out is completely tax free. Now, I know we're going to geek out for just a couple of seconds in this next part of it. So please, if you're listening to this podcast, if you're listening to this, don't worry. You don't have to be a specialist. Call Nick, call the team there, and they're going to help you with all of this. But the government was smart.
Hold on. You do want to pull over to the side of the road, you know, turn off the car, be in complete silence, and just astutely listen, please.
Yeah, that's right. So,
Proceed, good sir.
There is some detail to this, right? So the government isn't just, you know, here to help, right? Here to give everybody big financial hugs. They were smart about this. So what they said was, we are going to somewhat change the rules upon distribution. Now, everything's going to be tax-free, but instead of it being the normal LIFO, last in, first out, which are those gains that would come out first, they're going to flip it around so that what comes out first, if someone needs it for care, they're going to be the basis of that contract, which was never taxable to begin with. And then if the basis is used up, now we're into the gain. And that would be considered tax-free. So the government is making a somewhat educated guess that not everyone is going to use up all of their basis, and they're still going to get their tax revenue. Does that make sense, Scott?
I am astutely following along. Of course it makes sense to me.
Well, what do you want to add to this that you've seen from your experience around some of these things? Do you ever have, let me pose a question to you, right? I mean, you're supposed to be the host and the moderator, but I'm going to turn the tables for just a second.
Fair enough.
When you have posed this concept or this idea to maybe some of your trusted advisor relationships and therefore to their clients, have you ever had some of them say, no, that can't be true. That sounds too good. I mean, that just, there's no way that we're going to get all of this out tax-free. Have you ever heard that before?
Once or twice. I certainly have. Once or twice.
Well, and the reason why you hear something like that is because, one, this is that secret, right? You know, that unknown that not many either financial professionals are aware of, and therefore, if they're not aware of it, their clients certainly aren't aware of it. And
right, exactly. The answer has always been, no, that's the way annuities, the taxation on annuities work. And the longer I wait, the older I get, the bigger that tax bomb becomes.
Until now. And we're all human beings, right? You have to be a little bit skeptical about things. You know, so that skepticism at the client level comes in to say, well, wait, hold on. How can this actually be tax-free to me? Why wouldn't everybody do this? And so this isn't about a product, Scott, meaning it's not about One America or our particular products. This is actually more about education, which of course is the reason why you do these podcasts, is to educate people on what is available for them that is otherwise unknown.
Exactly.
Now,
so in this scenario, let's move on from here in the sense that moving along the benefits. So $100,000 cost basis, the annuity's grown to 200. I've certainly ascertained that is not tax favorable to take distributions. I get no leverage. I actually get what I'm calling anti-leverage as I distribute those funds to pay for care. So where does the long-term care solution specifically come into play, and what do those benefits look like?
Yeah. So what you're going to find, and you know, I do represent one of the companies that is available out there, but simply put, you know, you're just going to take those dollars, right, in that existing annuity, and right, and we all in the financial services world understand what a 1035 exchange is. So we're simply taking that with no tax ramifications whatsoever. We 1035 exchange that from one contract where it's at over to what's called a PPA compliant annuity. We certainly have those at the company I represent, One America. So when that comes over to the company, no taxes upon that exchange. Then when you design the plan within the new company like One America, you then have in many cases the affordability to add even more long-term care leverage that all would be paid out tax-free. So let's put this into motion. And we're going to use, let's just say, you know, we have a client, her name is Mary, that $200,000, right? $100,000 of cost basis, $100,000 of gain. It just sits there until she needs care. And then depending on the plan design, most of the time it's distributed out over a 2 or maybe a 3 year period, the $200,000. And so that just generates a monthly maximum. And then we just pull it out of the account value first before we get into any additional leverage that they may have chosen. And so in that scenario, and this is so important to reiterate, Scott, as long as that contract was funded with non-qualified dollars, right? So after funded after tax, any of the dollars that come out of that to pay for their long-term care expenses will be completely tax-free. And I mentioned it when we opened up today, you know, that tagline, tax-deferred to tax-free for LTC, that's exactly what you can provide for a client when it comes to doing this type of 1035 exchange to fund one of these policies.
Now, I do believe that there's also the opportunity for further leverage. So in the case for Mary that we've been working with here, the $200,000 of a contract value or annuity value mm-hmm. transfers over, in this case, to One America, they have the ability to double, or is it even potentially triple, the value yeah. of those dollars for long-term care benefits? How does that work? Can you maybe touch on that just a little bit?
Sure. Yeah. So let's just start with the $200,000 again, right? So with these types of asset-based products, in particular, these annuities for LTC, we're always going to use up that value first. So their account value, the $200,000 in our example. And then now this is upon plan design, right? So it's not when they file a claim. It's when you design the plan. You add an additional rider to that. Now, we just so happen to call that the continuation of benefits rider, and it really only has one purpose, and that is to pay for even more long-term care. So depending on the product and how it's set up, right, and also the appetite from the client for more premium, because it's not free, right? You can't have more leverage for free. You can have as little as an additional 2x leverage, so in my example, the $200,000 could be $400,000 or 3x leverage, so $600,000 in my example. And we could even go out all the way to an unlimited benefit. Now, that's not a commercial for One America. It really comes down to what's best for the client anyway. And, you know, some clients, I'll even go the opposite, Scott. We have a number of clients that really are just trying to say, how can I have all of my money paid out tax-free for my care? And so what does that mean? They don't add any more leverage to it at all. Let me give you a prime example. So this is a real life case. So it was last year I had an advisor come to me, and you know, he went through one of our trainings, and it wasn't about the product. It was about the concept. It was about the strategy. And he came to me and said, hey, I think I have a client that meets what you were talking about. You know, that thingy in your meeting, the tax deferred to tax free thingy. And I'm like, okay, I'm glad you didn't have to remember the whole PPA. Well, and he said, I have a client, she's 78 years old, and she's had this annuity for a long time, and the account value is $500,000. Now, I about fell off my chair, right? Because that's a very nice annuity. She did a, you know, between her and her husband, he was already deceased. Oh, they did a great job saving for that. Well, $300,000 of that $500,000 was gain. That meant that she wasn't chasing rate. She wasn't churning that. She wasn't, you know, following, trying to find the next best annuity. She just wanted that deferral. And of course, who did she want it to pass on to? Her children, without going through probate. And so he said, is that a good client for this particular type of solution? And I said, absolutely. And so what she decided to do was she could care less about adding more coverage, right? She could care less about turning her $500,000 into a million or into a million and a half of total long-term care benefits. What did she want? She wanted the entirety of the $500,000, if she never needed care, to pass along to her named beneficiaries, which who are we talking about? The kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yet she also was tax rebellious, like many of us, and said, the last thing I want to have to do is pay taxes on the $300,000 of gain if I need it for my own long-term care expenses. So she didn't even add any additional leverage. So depending on the client's needs, you really can design something like this as simple as you want or as elaborate as you want. And the key to all of it, remember this tagline, tax deferred, it'll remain deferred to tax free for long-term care, as long as it's funded with non-qualified dollars.
That's a fantastic place to wrap. Thank you very much for taking the time today. We very much appreciate it, Brad. Where can people go to find more about One America and their products and possibly the sales strategy or this solution?
Yeah, so there's many places. You can even start at oneamerica.com, right? So www.oneamerica.com. You can also just, you know, go to assetbasedltc.com. And, you know, also I would be remiss if I didn't say you can go directly to the carrier, but if I were you, I'd work with Scott and your team there at the agency. And it's not because we're friends, it's because you're the experts. One America, we just happen to have the products that meet those needs.
I sincerely appreciate you and your good sentiment. You're a good man.
Anytime, Scott. Yep. Thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. Please subscribe, like, share, leave a comment, or review. Be sure to check us out on social media at Optimized Advisor Podcast. Till next time.